The deal to bring Major League Baseball back to the nation's capital blew up this week when the Washington, D.C. City Council voted to change the agreement negotiated by Mayor Anthony Williams. The big issue is money. The city's proposal included a new stadium financed largely by a new business tax. Late Tuesday night, City Council President Linda Kropp added an amendment that requires 50% private financing. Last night, Major League Baseball rejected that plan as unacceptable. Unless the council agrees to the original deal by New Year's, baseball officials say they will find another home for what used to be the Montreal Expos. The story made the front page of today's Washington Post news, sports, style, and metro sections. Mark Fisher writes a column for the metro section. He joins us from the newspaper's office. Good afternoon. Good to talk to you, Mark.
Good to talk to you, Neil.
We have some developments. I think today it was Linda Kropp held a news conference to say at this point midnight on New Year's Eve is not enough of a deadline.
Well, exactly. I think that Linda Kropp is quite satisfied to see baseball walk at this point. She'd like them to give her more time to raise private financing for a stadium, but baseball realizes that that's not likely to happen, and baseball feels rather justly that the rug has been pulled out from under a deal that they negotiated. It's a deal that's heavily in baseball's favor, but it's a deal that the city had agreed to.
Mm-hmm. And baseball doesn't care how the stadium is financed as long as there is going to be a stadium.
Right. They can't sell the Montreal Expos or the Washington Nationals or the Washington Nuts, as we now call them. They can't sell that team to a prospective owner if they don't have the promise of a ballpark, if they don't have a certainty that they're going to be in Washington. And so baseball is stuck with this vagabond team that they now figure they're better off taking to a third city rather than go with the uncertainty of Washington and also the rather hostile political climate that they've walked into here.
And I want to talk, we'll talk a little bit later about the prospects elsewhere, but let's talk about that hostile political climate here in Washington, D.C. How did this develop from a deal that, a lot of people said, yay, baseball's back in Washington, and we saw, among others, Linda Kropp dancing at the announcement?
Exactly. And Linda Kropp, the city council chairman, was in on the negotiations all along. She knew what this deal entailed. And yet she pulled a couple of last-minute dramatics to stop the deal because she sensed in her own city a feeling that why are we paying all these millions of dollars to the zillionaires who own baseball teams when the District of Columbia has terrible urban woes that are not being addressed? And while these are two separate issues and, in fact, two separate pots of money, that resonated with a lot of people in the city. It also hit right into the deep feeling of division between the city and the suburbs. And baseball has allowed itself to become seen as a sport for a rich white elite. And so in a majority black city, it was very easy for baseball to lose control of this issue and for the issue to become one of race and class and gentrification rather than being about the sport.
We're talking with Mark Fisher of the Washington Post about the detonating deal between Major League Baseball and Washington, D.C. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Mark, talk a little bit more about those divisions. You say in your column today was in the form of a letter to the baseball commissioner, Bud Selig, saying, look, you have to understand, you're not dealing with the supremely self-confident capital of the free world here.
No, exactly. What you're dealing with is a city that is really riven by division. And baseball needs to understand that if they want this to work in Washington, they have to know that this is not about them. This is about the perception among black Washingtonians that baseball appeals to white suburban fans, and therefore why should we pay hundreds of millions of dollars for a stadium to entertain white suburbanites? Now, the counter argument, of course, is that you want to bring that suburban entertainment spending from the suburbs into the city to help expand the tax base of Washington, D.C. But that's a very hard sell, and it's also a hard sell that no one attempted to make. Neither the mayor nor certainly the baseball commissioner and the other owners of baseball teams. No one came to Washington and said, look, this is why this helps you. This is why this is more than a social welfare program for the billionaires who own baseball teams.
The other issue that a lot of people in baseball pointed out is this stadium, this project, would revitalize a downtrodden part of the city along the Anacostia River.
Right, and there's a big national debate over whether pro sports teams really do help spark economic development, and you can talk to economists on both sides of the issue. But the bottom line is that there have been places, particularly here in Washington, we saw with the building of a downtown arena for basketball and hockey, that created a whole new neighborhood, and developers came in and pumped money in solely because of this arena coming in. The idea was to create another new neighborhood around a baseball stadium, something that a city with a very weak tax base would crave. On the other hand, again, that's a tough sell to a city that has crying needs in terms of public schools and public safety. And so the idea of pumping $500 million into a baseball stadium really galls a lot of people.
And the development, some people fear, you mentioned in the gentrification argument, would be high-end housing and not the low-income housing that many in Washington feel they need.
That's right. And this is a mayor, Anthony Williams, who has really turned the city around, at least in the eyes of the upper middle class that's coming back to the city, both black and white. But in the eyes of poor people and people who are struggling to hold on to their housing, these gentrification initiatives that he's taken on have really endangered them and in some cases displaced them. So there's a big divide here. There's a lot more going on than baseball may see. Unfortunately, baseball doesn't have a lot of patience for these kinds of issues. They want to go where they're going to make top dollar for their team and get the owners of the other teams out from owning the Montreal Expos.
A lot of people are pointing to the mayor and said, you know, how could he possibly bring this up for a decisive vote when he didn't know that he had the votes? But you point out in your column today also that the city council president, Linda Kropp, no matter which way this goes, she looks pretty good.
She does, and you have to understand the politics of Washington to see why she wins either way. How could the person who kills baseball after Washington fought for 33 years to get baseball, how could the person who kills it in 78 days be a conquering hero? Well, you have to get back to race and class and those issues, and she's, as she said yesterday, the cries and howls of protest are coming from white suburbanites, whereas her constituents are saying, you go, girl, because you're standing up to this elite and to these rich folks who are trying to use our money.
So if the deal falls through, she's the steely-eyed guardian of the city's purse, and if they do negotiate some concessions, well, she got them.
She got them, and she saved the city all this money, and either way, she looks like a very strong contender for mayor next time around.
Mark Fisher, thanks very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for you.
Mark Fisher is a columnist for The Washington Post, and he joined us from the newspaper's offices up here in Washington, D.C. Talk of the Nation is produced by Kara Arsenault, Setsko Sato, Becky Vlamis, Megan Moline, Susan Lund, and Megan Williams. Brendan Banaszak directs our program. Sarah Handel is our production assistant. Our technical director is Kevin Waite. He gets engineering help from Johnny Vince Evans and Sue Klein. Floor Pinnell edited today's program. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Sue Goodwin. Today we say so long to our intern Tanya Luma, who helped produce today's program. The past few months, she's made sure our research was in order, our guests were in place, and our scripts were delivered on time. Tanya, thank you, goodbye, and good luck to you. It's tomorrow is Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here, and Lynn Neary will be here on Monday. I'll see you Tuesday. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.